this second evacuation, were families sent together again?
Again, as I say, as much as possible, yes, they were, you know, kept together. I must point out that the evacuation was done in sort of two phases. The women and children, again, as before, and sick people and old people and that. And they got the sort of priority for the first lot. The second lot, which were, again, single people, you know, married people, no children, they went the second sort of phase of the evacuation. And they didn't go to England. They went to the West Indies, mostly to Jamaica. And when one of my aunties went over there, and my mother and me came to England.
Were you told where you were going?
No, again, no. We were told we was being evacuated to England, but not exactly where. And as I say, the day of the evacuation here, there was three transports arranged in our particular, I'm talking about our evacuation, you know, as it applied to me. These ships normally did the ferry run from Glasgow to Belfast, so they were not very big. I know the name of them, the Royal Scotsman, Royal Ulsterman and the Ulster Monarch. That's the name of the three ships. And it took us 3 weeks. We was escorted all the way by a destroyer. One destroyer took us so far, and then he handed over to another destroyer, which took us the rest of the way. And the journey took us right out into the Atlantic, round the west coast of Ireland, round Northern Ireland, you know, the northern coast of Ireland, and we eventually arrived at the Clyde. That would be sometime in the last week in July or the first couple of days in August at Glasgow itself.
When did you realise you were going to England?
Well, we were told we were going to England when we was leaving Jeb, like. But as I say, not exactly where.
What did you think about that, going to England at last?
Well, I was excited because I wanted to come before, but I couldn't. But I was, as I say again, taking into account my age and that, where the older people, you know, felt proper depressed and sad and all that. I suppose the children took a different view, I suppose. I know I did, for, you know, as I say, only personal view, I suppose.
What sort of impressions did you have of England, you know, images in your mind?
Terrific one. Glasgow. First morning in Glasgow. Unlike the normal Scottish weather, it was a beautiful morning. And the place seemed huge. And there was all the barrage balloons up in the air. And as I say, the impression was a terrific place, it was massive. And the evening before setting up the Clyde, you know, again, everything seems so big and so large. I mean, you've got to realise that when you live in a place like Gibraltar, which is on a little rock, might you say, anything like that would look massive. I'd never seen a train, I'd never seen a bus, so all that was added to the sort of excitement of the arrival, I suppose. Yeah.
So this lived up to your expectations, did it? Or?
Well, I didn't have any expectations as such, I suppose, because the only thing I've seen of England was postcards, I suppose, and Christmas cards, which no one, I suppose. That, I wouldn't say any expectations as such, but it certainly was very impressive. Mm.
Could I ask you now a little more about the journey, which you say took 3 weeks?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What sort of accommodation was there on this boat?
Again, in this boat we had, most people had, we had cabins, you know, which had to be shared, you know, so as many people as possible in cabins and that. The food was fairly good, but again, the people were not used to the English cooking, and so you've got to realise that the older people were suffered a little bit in that respect. And of course, there were things like two sittings for food and all that. The time spent in the crossing the bay, on say till we got to somewhere around the west coast of Ireland, when the weather was rough, the situation was pretty bad, you know, and people being bad, and especially the older people and all that sort of thing. We ran out of bread after a few days, so we everything I've had to have hard biscuits with everything else. So, but, you know, by and large, really, considering the number of people involved and the circumstances, not bad, I suppose.
Was there any attempt made to sort of organise the people into some toilets and bathroom arrangements?
Well, I think there was originally, but I don't think that they worked very well. But as I say, you can imagine that a small ship, as I say, used as a ferry and being used by whatever number of people that it took, I don't know what the actual figure was, trying to use bathrooms and toilets with children and babies and all that, it was quite a, probably a bit chaotic after a bit, I should think. I know when we had the rough, you know, during the rough weather, conditions down below were not all that great, but then again, that's how things were.
What would you say the morale was like? You explained on the first evacuation how depressed.
Well, I think that's still, I still persisted in this second evacuation because, again, I mean, people were leaving home again and looked at this time it was going to be more permanent. Again, you were leaving brothers, husbands, and you were going a lot further away this time. And I think probably the feeling this time was more depressing, I expect, in the older, you know, the grown-up people, not so much amongst the children, but the grown-up people, yes. Probably more so.
And was this sort of reflected in the atmosphere of the boat?
At first, I think, yes. You know, eventually when, like everything else, you got to accept the inevitable, you sort of start putting a different sort of outlook on it, don't you?
Was there any attempt at sort of entertainment for you,
no,
say, in the evenings?
No.
Did anyone have a sing-song? Or?
No. That didn't apply, I don't think. No. There's no question of that, I don't think. No.
How about your children? How did you amuse yourself? Because it must have been a long time.
Well, I just sort of ran around a boat, and there was a couple of things like deck quoits and all that by, you know, a couple of the seamen on board who sort of put themselves out. I think it's just a personal thing that they did to try and amuse you and all that, keep you occupied, but there wasn't much to do, or just wander around the ship all day.
How about your schools in Gibraltar? Now, did you meet your school friends on the boat? Did you happen to be together, or say teachers, were they there?
Well, the teachers again, I don't know what happened to the teachers, they must have been evacuated because, as I say, they were Christian brothers mostly, and most of them came from Ireland. They were mostly Irish. So whether they went back to Ireland or not, well, I did actually see a couple of them later on in London. As regards to school friends, well, in some cases, you know, some of your schoolmates sort of happened to be on the same batch as you were and travelling in the same boat that you were, but it wasn't sort of organised that way. You
was
met
there
up.
Attempt to sort of keep education?
No. So there was no education at first, you know, like I explained earlier on.
Relations between people, were they sort of nice to each other, or do you think tempers got a bit frayed?
I think they must have done, you know, because as I say, you know, feeling depressed and trying to cope with the conditions that they must have been on the boat, and I think it must have gone on people's nerves, I suppose. It wouldn't have been normal if it didn't. Yeah.
Was there any sense of fear because you were crossing this vast, vulnerable...
I think there was apprehension, not so much fear, I don't think, but apprehension, because, say, at night, you know, the ship was blacked out and all that sort of thing. And I think there was apprehension, yeah, that anything could happen, I suppose, but luckily it didn't.
Apart from your destroyer, you know, which was a sort of visible sign of war, did you see any other signs?
No, that was the only one destroyer, so part of the way, and then he was relieved by another one, and off we went.
Well, could I ask you now about your arrival in England? This would have been what time of day?
Well, it was evening, and as I say, it was the Clyde. And we went up the Clyde to Glasgow. As you know, you go through Gourock and all that part, and as I say, the beautiful sunset, as I remember. I do remember that, nice golden sunset. You know, ships and boats everywhere, I suppose. And as I say, Glasgow looked a vast place, you know, in the docks there. And I've been back there since, as a matter of fact, and seen the ship. But, you know, it was, the impression was terrific, like, you know. But again, a good welcome. And everything organised for our removal from the ships to our resting place, if you might put it that way.
Who welcomed you there?
No, I couldn't remember that. So.
But there was some sort of
organiser? Oh, yeah, there was organiser to... I think it was probably, as it was throughout the whole of the evacuation, probably organised by the WVS and other voluntary bodies, you know. I think that was the only people that were involved, I think. And their own, you know, they were called evacuation committee. People that were sort of took it or volunteered to see us through the whole of the evacuation period, which they did, actually.
How about the business of language? I imagine you all spoke English.
I think the language barrier was not so much, was no problem, I think. We all spoke English, except for the very old people. Most of us spoke good English, and I don't think there was any problem there. I think the problems came with food and climate and things like that, you know, not so much with language and that.
As you mentioned the problem of food on the boat that the older people couldn't take to it. Mm. How about yourself? What did you think of your first introduction to English food?
Well, I don't think it made all that much effect on me, but there were things that I obviously couldn't have liked or have never seen before, but things like sausages and bacon, I think I've been used to them, I suppose, but I suppose there were some things that, you know, I must have disliked, I suppose, I don't know.
You also mentioned earlier on that you shared cabins with various families. Mm. Can you remember your own circumstances, how you slept?
Well, I know we had a cabin, my mother and me, and I think we were sharing it with somebody, but I couldn't tell you who it is now. I know the conditions below were pretty bad when it was in the rough weather and all that, you know, people being sick and that sort of thing.
And would you have had the bedding with you that you took on your first evacuation?
No, I don't think we did, not on this second one.
Can you remember what you did take on your second evacuation?
I think on the second evacuation, I don't think we took... we did, yes, beg your pardon, yes, I just remember something. Yes, we did bring bedding and all that, but of course we never used it on the ship, on the boat, and eventually we never used it at all. I'll tell you what made me remember that, because I remember that all our luggage was sent and was stored at Alexander Palace. Because I remember having to go there and find it. And that was my first introduction to Alexander Palace.